Let us all say amen.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, it's in my veins. So therefore, I cannot help myself but to give the God of honor and praise that is due him. I'm reminded of what Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 4 and round about verse number 1. Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplieth, that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But Peter goes on to say in verse number 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Peter says, speak as the oracles of God, and when folks don't want to hear it, don't be surprised. Okay? He goes on to say in verse number 13, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. Verse 14, Peter says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. In the next few verses here, Peter drops this warning to the believer, reminding the believer, encouraging the believer, look at where you're at and make sure you stay focused on the mission that God has set before you. Because there's going to come a time that God is going to stop time. And I don't know about you, when he stopped, I want to be right there ready to receive my mansion, robe, and a crown. Right, he says, for the time will come. What are we in right now? We in that time?
Yes, sir.
He says in verse number 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other man's matter. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Peter here warns us that we must stay on track and that we must learn to obey God and do what God requires, because the time is going to come. And you know, and when that time comes, if any of us are caught on the outside of the safe ark of safety, guess what? It'll be no one's fault but your own. 1 Peter chapter 3 and round about verse number 8, Peter says, finally, my brethren, be of one mind, have compassion one to another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering railing for railing or evil for evil, but contrary blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that ye shall receive an inheritance, inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from every evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Peter here reminds the believer, stay on track. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I just want to draw your attention to Acts chapter 5. As the apostles go about proclaiming the word of God, and as they are called into question about what they believe and what they are teaching, some things are going to transpire in Acts chapter 5 that are very interesting to me, and to remind me that as a servant of God, I must focus on the cross and nothing else. We talked about that this morning. How was Paul able to do what Paul was able to do? I believe Paul surrendered his life on that road to Damascus. Did that mean Paul knew everything? Nope. But I believe in the process of him going through life, Paul got to the end of his days and he says, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And that's what motivates me. That's what drives me, is to know that if I keep my eyes on the cross and do what God commands me to do, in that final analysis when I stand before his judgment seat, all I'll hear is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Do that mean I'm going to do everything right? Nope.
No.
But I know how to get the blood to cleanse me of all of my iniquities. And so in Acts chapter 5, we know there's several stories here. Acts chapter 5, verse number 1, there's two individuals there, two Christians.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. And you know what happened to them?
Yeah.
They told a lie. We don't tell lies, do we?
No.
Let me go on to the next page. I'm not gonna. But we see that in the business of being a follower of Jesus Christ, our lives have got to be lived in such a way that God receives all the glory and all the honor. And so in Acts chapter 5, round about verse number 17, we see the apostles here being called into question in reference to what they believed in. And I venture to say, if folks ain't questioning us about what we believe in, we've got to ask ourselves, what do they really see? Because here in this first century, they were called into question. The Bible says in round about verse number 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the set of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them into the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth, saying, 'Go stand and speak in the temple.'" Boy, if somebody let me out of jail, I'm free, I'm gone. But see, when you trust God, when you do things the way God requires of you, then you'll understand that sometimes you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be persecuted because you stand firm on what thus saith the Lord. And if there's ever been a time that we need to stand firm, just look at the world we live in. I feel sorry for my grandchildren because I don't know what it'll be like 20 years from now. But they don't have to worry about me because I might be on the old gone to glory by then.
Yeah.
You notice I didn't say, "think I'm going." I'm going. And somewhere down the line, the child of God has to have that confidence and that reassurance. The Bible said, as they brought them out of prison, the Spirit told the angel of the Lord by night, opened up the prison doors and brought them forth, saying, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life."
Wow.
The Bible is the words of life. You want to know how to live right? It's right here. You don't want to know how to do right? It's right here. And you know how you want to learn how to stay out of sin? It's right here. And you want to know how to love beyond anything? It's right here. And all we have to do is open it up and read it. So the angel tells Peter to go stand and speak the words of life. Verse number 21. "And when they heard that they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came and they that were with him, and they called the council together and all of the senate of the children of Israel, and set the prisoner and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officer came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly was found shut with all safety, and the keepers standing outside before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within.'" Now, how did God get them out of there? Well, I don't even ask that, but let's go on. Verse 24. "Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto they would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.'" You might want to underline that. See, that's what happens when you get out of the way and let God have control. You will do some things that people say you are crazy. Now, if that had been me, I don't think I'd been back in the temple. But see, that's what happens when you get out of the way and really let God have the motivating factor in your life. See, when we surrender our will to God, God will have us to do some things that is really unheard of by the world. Verse 27, the Bible says, then when the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we strictly command you? Stop right there. Well, we're living in a world that's done put out some rules and regulations on us. These rules and regulations, they are commanding us that we must follow. They put out some too. They said, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, I want you to look at verse 28 because it's powerful. Because see, when we really do what God commands us to do, what are we going to do with the city? We're going to fill it with the word of God. Look at what happened. The Bible says in verse 28, he says, did we not tell you to teach in this name? And behold, you have filled all of Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood upon us. Boy, they mad. They upset. But see, I like verse number 29 because I've learned that it's all about God and it's not about you and it's not about me. The Bible says in verse number 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Title of the lesson, who have you obeyed? In this text here, the apostles are put into prison, have been called before the Sadducees, commanding them and telling them, you are not supposed to speak in the name of Jesus, but because you have disobeyed us, you have filled all of Jerusalem. Boy, would to God we could fill Apple Valley with the church. Amen. But the Bible says they have filled all of Jerusalem with his doctrine, intending to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter, standing up boldly as he normally does, says we ought to obey God rather than man. Title of the lesson, stay focused. Obey God and forget about man, okay? Somewhere down the line in our Christian walk as children of God, we need to understand that it's all about what thus saith the Lord. And the more we practice and put that into practice, the more we'll be able to stand firmly on what thus saith the Lord. If there's ever been a time that we are to be the lights that's so badly needed, look at the world in which we live in. It's a sad day to see that the world we live in has digressed instead of moving forward. And the only reason we have gone backwards is because we've taken God off the throne. Not only have we taken him off the throne in our society, but look at our homes. He's not even head of the house in our own homes. Amen, Walls. You don't have to amen this. And not only is he not a head in our own homes, but most of our lives do not demonstrate who's really in control. And I'm talking about from the pulpit to the back door. So I didn't miss anybody. Anybody in the bathroom, get him too. Amen. Somewhere down the line, church, as God's people, we're going to have to make a stand, and we're going to have to stand in such a way that it brings the glory and the honor back to him. I'm recalled of a young man that left home because he wanted to go to the wild side. And the Bible said it wasn't until he hit the pig pen that he realized and recognized the direction he really needed to go. He said, first and foremost, I'm going to repent before God the Father and go to my Father and tell him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm not even fit to be your son. Just make me a servant. Why? Because his belly had got empty and he was eating with the pigs, and it was the pig pen that really turned him around. Sometimes I think we're going to have the pig pen to turn us around. You look at all the stuff that's going on in the world today. How much is it going to take to make us live up to what we say we have obeyed? What is it going to take to make the child of God make his calling and election sure? It's this constant adding to one's faith that's going to help us to see the importance of who we really are. In this text here, Peter and the rest of the apostles never lost sight of their mission. In prison, commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus, and as you go on further, they're beaten, but they never lose track of their mission. And that's the first point.
Amen.
Focus on your mission. Don't let anyone sidetrack you. Do you not know Satan has but one purpose? That purpose is to sidetrack you from proclaiming the gospel. But I just stopped by this morning to remind you, Jesus is an example of proclaiming the word of God. And if he can do it, he said, I left you an example that you should follow. John chapter 6 and round about verse number 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me.
Amen.
John chapter 9 and verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night shall come when no man can work. Matthew chapter 20 and round about verse number 28, Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom.
Yes.
Amen.
Are you really to ransom someone's life from the cesspools of immorality? Huh? Somebody ought to say, hey, yes. Because that's what he's left us in charge of, to ransom men's life out of the cesspools of immorality. I want to encourage us and remind us, don't lose track of our mission. Our mission, Luke 19:10, we ought to know that by heart by now, is to seek and save the lost. How are we going to seek and save the lost? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. We're going to remind them of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they need to obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto them, be buried in water for the remission of their sins, and then they'll take on the new form, the new creature, that's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 7. I believe in order for us to really focus on mission, you got to learn how to walk right.
Amen.
Amen. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. O Lord, I know it's not in man that walketh to direct his own footsteps. So if you don't know how to walk, you need somebody to teach you, do you not? And the way we walk, church, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we walk by sight, guess what? We don't have the faith that is necessary to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
Now that we're in Christ Jesus, we need to stay focused on the mission that God has placed before us. He has left you and I with the charge of helping men out of darkness into a marvelous light. That's why James said in James chapter 3, don't be many teachers or preachers, for greater is going to be your condemnation. Church, he's left you and I in charge for the soul of all of mankind. And when it comes to that day that we stand before his judgment seat, we're going to be without excuse. And I don't know about you. I want to remind you while I got life in my mortal body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And verse 21 is where I drop my hat a lot of times. For he made him to be sin for Stan.
Amen.
God made Jesus to die on the cross for me. And until you take it personally, you'll never do anything for it. He said he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Point number two, get busy, stay busy. Not with foolishness, but stay busy knowing that God has chosen you for a purpose. Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Church, if there's ever been time that you and I need to pick up the book, pick up the cross, and help folk out of darkness, look at the world we live in. If it's ever been a time that you need to be concerned about your soul's salvation, look at it. You cannot turn on the TV. Somebody's dying 24/7.
Right.
Amen. My question is, when is it going to begin with us? Church, I want to encourage you. Get busy, stay busy in doing the will of the Father.
Amen.
It's easy to get tied up in your business. We're so tied up in our business, I call that monkey business. Amen. It's time to get busy and doing the will of the Father. What does he want me to do? He wants me to go out here and make the difference in somebody's life. He wants me to get out and go out here and tell somebody that in the midst of all of your trials and tribulation, Jesus can make the difference. He wants us to get out of this place, go out there in that world and let them see Jesus in us. Yes. And when they see Jesus in us, you won't have to say much of nothing, because they'll be drawn by that example. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. God is not going to go to work until you get busy. Amen, Walls. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Work out. He says, brethren, as you have not always obeyed in my presence, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Verse number 14 says, and do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you might be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We need some lights.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was working on replacing some lights up in L.A., and we went to the LED. We need some LEDs. You know, some of y'all old wattages.
Them burned up.
Operating on one cylinder. You got so many lights out. We need some LEDs.
Yes, sir.
They're guaranteed for 5 years. Point number three. Don't become discouraged as you pick up your cross and follow him. Sometimes it's difficult to pick up your cross, but I'm learning that if you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it'll teach you, it admonishes you, and if you learn to keep your focus on the cross, that even in the midst of everything that goes on, God will get the glory, and you'll be victorious in everything you do. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections where? On things above and not on things of the earth. And in conclusion, God is looking for some examples. The world we live in is confused. Hopefully, none of us are confused about what's going on around us. As I see day by day and as I see the things that are going on, sometimes I wonder how soon God will return. When I look at all the immorality, when I look at the unbeliever and the unbelief that believers have, it scares me.
Yeah.
And then when it even hits your own house, you got to ask yourself some questions. Lord, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You may not, but I do. Mm-hmm. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, around about verse 27, after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disqualified. Finally, I want to remind you, we need some examples. We got young folk that need some old folks with some love, some kindness, some joy, some compassion, some mercy, someone to be the example. Because if you let the world teach them, they're going to be a product of what that world has to teach.
Yes, right.
Paul, as he prepares to depart, he writes these words to a young gospel preacher. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 9, Paul would say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Paul reminds this young gospel preacher, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of hand of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that thy example may be apparent to all. Paul says to Timothy, take heed unto yourself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear you. Church, I want to encourage you, have a good week. Amen. Stay on track. If you ain't busy, get busy. Right. Obey God and don't worry about me. Because in the final analysis, when we stand before that judgment seat, you're going to give an account. And I'm learning that God is not like me. He's going to have every record. You know them little secret things we have? He already knows them. Yep. And so I just want to encourage us as this week unfolds, stop and think about some soul. And then go out there and see if you can help them see Jesus Christ. Amen. By in your everyday life. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as we together we stand and sing.